Simon McGregor Wood is a correspondent for Al Jazeera, and he's in Cairo. I began by asking him to assess the scale of the massacres.
I think, obviously, with the death toll, you know, well into the hundreds, as far as we know it this morning, this is a disaster for everyone concerned. And one gets the sense here this morning that this is a country that is on the verge of tearing itself apart. And it was notable, wasn't it, yesterday, to see how quickly the violence spread. We were sort of in the eye of the storm, if you like, in one of the sit-ins when the attack, the clearance operation started. But by the time we got out and during the course of the afternoon, it seemed that there was violent disturbances in practically every city up and down the country. And now, of course, we find ourselves under military rule here in Egypt with a curfew being imposed. I'm on the street outside the hotel, not a great distance from the Rabah Mosque site, and it's extremely quiet.
The death of journalists isn't necessarily the biggest news story in its own right, but it does seem to indicate that there is a wish on the part of the authorities to suppress what they're doing, not to have it come out. And also there's a young Australian tourist, for instance, who was arrested and beaten up for just trying to film something on his iPhone. Is that the picture that you're seeing, that they're trying to keep it quiet?
Yes, very much so. I think, again, not dwelling on our predicament as journalists too much, I think what was notable to us on site yesterday at 7 o'clock when it all started was that, as far as we were aware, the first shots that came in from the security forces were directly aimed, if not at us, on the roof overlooking the site, preparing our coverage, but designed specifically to get us off the roof. And it became clear to us after half an hour that they were trying to basically prevent us taking pictures of what was about to unfold. And as the dust settled, we all sort of looked at each other and thought, well, that was what they were trying to do, to prevent us covering it. And then, of course, during the course of the day, with all the terrible news of people being beaten up and, of course, tragically in some cases killed trying to cover the story, I think you can point to a very concerted and well-coordinated strategy to try and prevent coverage of any kind getting out. And while we were in Rabah Mosque, as the security forces launched their attack, they were jamming all the mobile signals as well. So I think it was very much part of the strategy.
So what did they most want to suppress?
I think clearly, you know, they had, during the course of this sit-in protest, established that a number of broadcasters were beaming live pictures out, such as Al Jazeera and a number of others. And they were very frightened of that kind of coverage as the operation unfolded, because clearly, as we now know, it wasn't going to be a peaceful encirclement. It was going to be a straight-on, you know, a very aggressive military-style operation. And I think you have to assume they didn't want that on live television, thank you very much.
Was it the unbalanced nature of it too? Because there are quite a lot of witnesses who say that mostly it was rocks and stones and metal bars that the people who were massacred had, whereas obviously the military had guns.
There is video and still photograph material coming out of Muslim Brotherhood pro-Morsi supporters using weapons. And from our point of view, as we were sort of pinned down on the roof, it was clear to us and our security advisor, who was with us, thank goodness, that there was a lot of fire coming in, yes, but there was also a substantial amount going out. And so from that point of view, strictly from what we were able to observe, yes, the security forces had overwhelming advantage, but there were certainly armed people in those sit-ins firing back.
And from what we were told last night, there were a lot of children in the pro-Morsi camp. Would that have been something else that the armed forces didn't want seen, that they were aiming at areas where children were?
Well, I think you'd have to think so. I mean, despite all the evidence of people using violence to try and repel the police operation, clearly I think it is unarguable that most of the people there were peaceful demonstrators. And we saw in the mosque itself, which had always been, during the course of this protest, a place where the women and children stayed. For a while, we were trapped inside the mosque with those people, and clearly, a large number of dead women and children would have been an absolute disaster. I'm not sure what the breakdown of the casualty figures is this morning, but most of the people that we saw being carried in dead and seriously wounded were men, but there were families there. That was well reported, and clearly the authorities were very sensitive about that.
Mohamed El-Baradei, who was really the last holdout, the last Liberal cabinet minister, has resigned, has left. Does that leave this as now effectively a military government in all but name?
It's looking increasingly like it, and I think the cynics, even before yesterday, would have told you that, in their opinion, this was already more or less a government exclusively in the control of the military. Don't forget, just a couple of days ago, the president, the interim president, swore in a whole new slew of local governors, very important local government officials, and it was revealed later in the same day that 15 of those 25 extremely powerful figures were former military men. And this reminded many Egyptians of the bad old days, as they would see them, of the Mubarak era, when the military more or less assumed certain roles in government. And I think today, particularly with the resignation of the former interim Vice President Baradei, this is a government effectively under full military control.
Al Jazeera correspondent Simon McGregor-Wood speaking to me earlier from Cairo.